I'd ask you to turn, please, to the letter of Paul to the Romans in chapter 10 and verse 9. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that thou shalt be saved. The subject before us this evening is quite simply sinners saved by faith. And we have before us wonderful words of encouragement to sinners seeking salvation. There is no greater desire in your life or my life this evening than to seek salvation, to know salvation, and to be right with God, and to serve him, the living God. In the final analysis, this is all that really matters for time and eternity. There may be many matters upon our minds this evening, but our text before us this evening brings us to the real focus of the most important issue for time and eternity: to believe and to confess the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be saved. And God, through his word, gives us every possible encouragement to come to him and receive forgiveness. And he has shown to us his pure, sincere, and gracious intent of mercy and love through his Son, Jesus Christ. We read in 1 John chapter 4 and 9, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him." This encouragement this evening to come just as we are is sealed by the suffering of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Both his physical and spiritual suffering, Calvary, the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, his death. It's solemnly sealed. It's sealed not only by the suffering and the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only by the blood of Jesus Christ, but by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And it's sealed inasmuch that God the Father is wholly and completely satisfied. There's an acceptance with God the Father. His justice has been met through the Lord Jesus Christ. And these encouragements are sealed by the inviting promises of God in his divine word. And so this evening, as we remind ourselves that God's promises are sealed, God's promises are true, God's promises are assured through the Lord Jesus Christ to sinners who come in humility and repentance and by faith, we can be assured of the truth and the verity of the promises of God. And here we have one of the great promises of God in his word, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so first of all, this evening, we consider the need of a personal profession This is speaking here about a profession of faith. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, this is a verbal confession of faith. And there's not only the verbal confession of faith, there's the inner working of faith in the heart. The mouth and the heart are involved. And so in this personal profession, the Apostle Paul describes this in two parts. There is our own profession and God's promise. We might say your part and God's part. By that I do not mean in any way that our salvation depends upon something that we do in and of ourselves to merit salvation, but we know that there is no salvation without repentance. There is no salvation without faith. And so in that sense, in that context, there is your part and God's part. So we look at your part. The word confess here has a very deep and profound meaning. It means, first of all, that you confess what you are by nature. And secondly, this word confess here means that you confess who Jesus is. And in this word confess, it means you confess what Jesus means to you. So it's about you. It's about the Lord Jesus. And it's about what he means to you. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Now the question is this evening that if you confess with your mouth as a helpless, hell-deserving sinner, that you acknowledge that you are a sinner, well, that's as good as far as it goes, and it's a very necessary part of the way of salvation. But are you willing to prepare and prepared to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus? Are you prepared to say, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand? Are you a Jesus only person? That is, that you're saying that my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Well, this confession here, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, this means acknowledging sincerely and truthfully that you believe Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God, the second person in the Trinity. That he is God who has taken upon himself a body. That he has fulfilled his commission to be the Savior of the world. That he is the only one who is able to save you, to reconcile you according to his grace and love. That you have nothing to merit yourself before God. That you confess that you come as a sinner deserving his wrath. That you depend only upon Jesus as your personal Savior, to save you by his grace. And by your personal confession of the Lord Jesus, you acknowledge him to be the Lord of your life and your head. And this confession is to be a verbal, open confession of Jesus as the Lord of your life. You believe here not just with the assent of the mind and the heart, but wholeheartedly, that God raised Jesus from the dead, that you depend upon his perfect righteousness alone, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, the Savior of the world, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You worship and trust Jesus the Lord as your risen Savior, victorious over sin and death and hell. And notice here, though, in our verse, the partnership between the heart and the mouth. God desires sincerity. He's not here expecting you or asking you or promising you that if you confess with your mouth, just verbally with your mind, and give an assent of the mind to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you are a sinner, that is not enough. No, the heart is involved. God says here very clearly through his word that thou shalt believe in thine heart. You see, the work of God's grace is a work which involves the truth coming through the mind into the heart, sealed by the Holy Spirit of God in our heart, so that when we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, we are doing so from here, not just from here. And so when we speak about the Lord Jesus, people can see, they can sense, oh, this person really means it. It's coming from here. We may not be able to say things very elaborately, and we may not be able to say too much about the Lord Jesus, but the most important thing is, are we confessing him with the mouth from our heart? Now, such a blessed testimony, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Well, what a wonderful promise this is. God's promises here that you will be saved. What from? What will you be saved from? Well, you'll be saved from an eternity in hell. You'll be saved from his wrath over sin, your personal sin, not anybody else's sin. You'll be saved from Satan's chains and from the condemnation of the law of God, which condemns us because it is pure and holy and we are not. That's what we're going to be saved from. But what do we save to? The positive side. We're saved to freedom in Jesus Christ the Lord. We're saved to freedom to serve God for the rest of our life. We're saved to enjoy God forever in eternity in heaven when we come to the end of our lives. We're saved to glory. The God of all grace saves us ultimately to glory in Christ Jesus. Saved to serve, saved to glory, and saved from ourselves by nature. For if left to ourselves, we would have no hope of salvation whatsoever. But then we see here, secondly, the personal purpose here. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So again, Paul is explaining this. Again, in verse 10, he's reiterating this wonderful truth, the partnership between confession and the heart. The two are going together. Now, when it speaks here about the heart, it's speaking about the inner seat of your true affections. Where we really are within us. Where does your affections really lie? With the heart, it means to believe with our whole being. It means that you have a belief that is centered and fully resting with your whole being on the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. This is the focus of faith. It has a purpose. It has a direction. It's like a searchlight, and it shines on the Lord Jesus Christ and on his righteousness. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. As we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have his righteousness imparted to us, and his righteousness imputed within, There's a wonderful robe of Christ's righteousness described here in the Bible, in the book of the prophet Isaiah. And it reminds us of the parable of the prodigal son. And this prodigal son came back to the father in repentance. He had nothing to depend upon but the mercy of his father. He had no excuses. Just coming home, dependent upon the mercy of his father. And his dear father went out and ran and kissed him, put his arms around him, dirty as he was, and he exchanged that torn, dirty robe that his son wore and clothed him with the best robe. The best robe he could find in the wardrobe. And it would have been a very beautiful robe. And the father was showing all the people, the family and all the friends and the servants around of the wonderful mercy of his heart to his son. He was so pleased that his son was lost but is found. He's dead but is alive. And so the Lord Jesus takes their dirty, sinful unrighteousness, and he clothes us afresh with his perfect righteousness. And we call this the grace exchange, a free gift from God, received by trusting only in Jesus Christ, the Saviour. Now, if the Queen contacted you tomorrow and said, I would like to, and I'm willing, freely to exchange Buckingham Palace for your home. You may live in a one-bed flat. You might live in a very small house. You would think it's impossible. You would see it as that's just a fake letter. Whatever should you want to do that for me? Why give up Buckingham Palace to come and live in this, my little home? It's impossible. You know, it's just ridiculous. It's just even not worth thinking about. It would never happen. But the grace exchange is far more wonderful than that. The fruit of this grace exchange that has come through faith in Christ Jesus. It means believing unto righteousness. It means believing in the Lord Jesus Christ in thine heart unto righteousness, whereby you're not only clothed with Christ's righteousness, you stand before the Father in Christ's righteousness. You believe unto righteousness. You walk, as it were, by faith into this wonderful position before God. So you are viewed in Christ's righteousness. This is a wonderful exchange, is it not? We come with our confession, the confession of our sin, and we acknowledge that we're trusting only in the Lord Jesus. And there's a wonderful exchange takes place. We come just as we are. And this is God's part, the impossible part. God gives us his righteousness in Jesus Christ the Lord. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We're saved through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now, dear friends, please remember here this link between confession and the heart. And it's so God-honoring when we are moved to confess Jesus Christ with our mouth, verbally. This is something that God the Father is pleased, well pleased about. It's something that pleases the Heavenly Father. When we exalt in the congregation God the Son, in whom he is well pleased, we might say, how can I please God this evening? Well, one of the great ways to please God is to confess his only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your only hope of salvation. And as you do so, and you do so from the heart, and you say, I really mean this. This is really coming from my heart. I know it in my heart. And I believe in a crucified Saviour. I believe in a risen Saviour. Thou shalt be saved. Believeth unto righteousness. Confession is made unto salvation. As it were, you walk into this righteousness by faith. You receive it. And you receive salvation. But then thirdly, I would like us to see what I describe here as the perfect panoply of God. The perfect panoply of God. And it includes each one of us here this evening. For the scripture says in verse 11, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now you'll notice here that this word whosoever is repeated twice for our encouragement. Once is wonderful, but here God says twice, whosoever. Whosoever. And he said, can that be possible? Whosoever? Is that the truly heart of God, that he reaches out to all the world of every tribe and nation, this wonderful heart of God's love, and says, whosoever, whatever case you are in, whatever state you are in, whatever you've done in your life, those open sins, those secret sins can all forgiven be, in the wonderful word whosoever. And you can plead this with God. You say, Lord, I feel to be the worst of sinners, but your word says whosoever. And that brings me in as well. And I can come by faith and I can rest on this word whosoever. And Lord, I come. It's thy word of truth. And I come just as I am. And Lord, I only have one word to plead in my prayer before thee initially, and that is whosoever. That's my introduction, Lord, in my prayer. Whosoever, Lord, and I come through that door, the whosoever door. I come through that door because the Lord has opened it for me. The God that doesn't lie. The whosoever door. And God has opened that door for me because it's whosoever. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. The same Lord of every tribe and nation is rich, eternally rich, the God of all grace unto all them that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall trust in the character of the Lord, the person of the Lord, who the Lord is, the Son of God, the Son of Man, shall be saved. The perfect panoply of God. All those who cry to the Lord by faith and trust in his true and glorious character to save will know his salvation. This word covers all that take refuge in Christ from the storm of God's wrath over sin. The word whosoever is all-embracing for all who seek salvation. No one is turned away. Do not let the devil tell you that you are not included, that you are not welcome. Whose word are you going to trust this evening? God's word, God's whosoever, or the devil's not ever? God's whosoever, or the devil's not ever? Oh, trust in the Lord, whosoever, this evening. All those who believe in him and call on the name of the Lord are covered by this glorious double promise. They will not be put to shame. Oh, isn't that a word of comfort for us? We're so ashamed of ourselves at times. We're ashamed of our failures and our weaknesses and how we are sometimes. But in Christ Jesus, we'll never be put to shame. The amazing thing as we sing in that hymn, Ashamed of Jesus, that dear name on whom my hopes of heaven depend. The wonder of it is he's not ashamed of us. That's an amazing thing. They will not be put to shame, never let down, never deceived or disappointed with a failure of this promise. Yes, people will mock us because of our faith in Jesus. They will cause embarrassment, hurt and pain. But we will never be put to shame, inasmuch as God will never fail us, never forsake us. And our belief will be proved at last, and most certainly at the awful day of judgment, when all be revealed, and we'll be amongst that wonderful number that will never be put to shame, in Christ Jesus the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's wonderful to know, you know, that that's been God's way throughout all time. And we read in the book of Genesis that very soon after the fall, and we go through the history, and it says, then men began to call on the name of the Lord. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. And that has been the way. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And as they called upon the name of the Lord, right back in that time recorded in Genesis, they were looking forward to that future Messiah, the one that would bruise the serpent's head. They knew they needed a sacrifice. And they themselves looked, called upon the name of the Lord. And so this evening, nothing's changed with God. And so we see the principle of God, no partiality with God. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Some people think that God has a one way of salvation for the Jew and one way of salvation for the Gentiles, that they'll be saved in a different way. But Paul says, no, there is no difference between Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. It's this one way of salvation. The same Lord that is able to save unto the uttermost all those that come unto God through Christ. The same Lord is able and willing to forgive and bestow spiritual riches and blessings for time and eternity. Oh, rich unto all. Rich. And what about the riches of God? We read of men and women who become very successful and they make a tremendous amount of money, and they become on the one of these lists of the of very rich people. But then there's a problem there. They're on this riches, 100 richest persons list, and but then they're very miserable one year because they fall off the bottom of the ladder and they're 101st. And with all that money and all that wealth, they're miserable because they're not on the top 100. That's what materialism can do for us. And they know, actually, that It's not going to last forever. They might live like it is, but in reality they know it's but for time. But the riches of the Lord are eternal riches. God doesn't just love sinners that come to the Lord Jesus Christ sovereignly for time. He's loved them in eternity. He will never leave them or forsake them. And these riches are perfect riches. The world's riches are dependent upon material goods, but the believer's riches are spiritual. I was thinking this last week about a little that a righteous man hath is better than the treasures of many wicked. Oh, friends, you might think to yourself, I only have a little, and my faith is like the grain of a mustard seed. I just have this, I can only pray, Lord, help me, and I look in that way. But do you not know that what you have in Christ Jesus is better than the riches of the most wealthy person in the whole world? The world's richest company actually has more cash available to them than even the USA. Actually ready cash available. And some of their wealth, their worth, is worth more than the wealth of nations. But it's still limited. There's still a cut-off point. But the believer's riches in Christ are infinite. They're beyond measure. You see, the wonderful thing is about confessing and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, we enter into infinite riches. Inexhaustible riches in Christ Jesus. Now, the world's riches bring with them a sense of pride and importance. I see this from time to time, more so when we were in London than probably in Ashford. But in London, there was a great image-led society, especially around places like Harrods and that. And you could see how materialism consumed people. And it gave them a sense of pride and importance. I remember once we actually had a meal in a very nice restaurant, it was a special occasion. And there was this man came in, and he had dressed up in all this Armani stuff, and he had sunglasses on. Well, it was actually not very light, actually, but you know what it was in those days. I don't know whether it still is, but if you had these posh sunglasses, that was something that you were pretending, or you perhaps were a very famous person. You didn't want anybody to recognize you. Well, this person was like this, and he came into this restaurant, and it was quite comical, really, because he obviously was very proud and wanted people to look at him, and he tripped over the chair because he couldn't see where he was going because he got his sunglasses on, and it sort of all fell about, really. But it was a picture of how pride can grip us, image can grip us. And the believer's riches do exactly the opposite. The believer's riches actually humble us. They melt us. The believer's riches in Christ amaze us because we wonder how God can be so gracious to us. Why me? Like Ruth, when she was favored by Boaz, and Boaz took particular notice of her, and he blessed her with grain, and he protected her, and ultimately he married her. And as that relationship started to grow, and Boaz had spoken to her heart, she had a question. Why me? Why me? Why have I found favor in thy sight? And that is the story of grace for us. We don't think, oh, well, I must have done this and this and this for the Lord, and so I've earned it. We realize it's all of grace, and it humbles us. We are overwhelmed with a sense of gratitude unto God. Well, this statement speaks wonderfully of the riches in Christ Jesus. It speaks wonderfully of the perfect generosity of God. You see, God in Christ Jesus has given of himself and from himself. He gives of himself and from himself continually. He gives of his own to us. And all that we give to others is simply stewarding what we received in the first place from God. When God gives of his riches spiritually, thinking of spiritual riches here now particularly, he gives from his own eternal resource. And this is perfect generosity. But I want us to notice as we come to conclusion this evening that this generosity has come with a cost. This Lord, who is rich unto all that call upon him, oh, these riches have cost him dearly. Have cost God dearly. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Well, there is great encouragement in these verses. Wonderful words of encouragement to sinners seeking salvation. There is no greater desire in your life than to seek salvation, to be right with God, to serve him, to walk with him. In the final analysis, this is all that matters for time and eternity. And God, through his word, gives us every possible encouragement to come to him, receive of him. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, but the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord